Blog Talk Radio.
One, check two. Here we go, y'all. 60 minutes with your host, Benny Moore. Fastest. 60 minutes in sports, NFL, MLB, NBA. He likes to talk about them. Not all right now. Fastest minutes on your waves right now. Get it in. 619-639-4747. Welcome to the fastest 60 minutes of sports with your host, Vinny Moore.
Welcome in to the ride. 10 a.m. on your Sunday, week 10 in the National Football League. We are ready to rock and roll one more time, or as we love to say, one more again. Flashback, a crazy week in the National Football League, crazy week in ESPN, world of sports, crazy week in sports, period. The situation with the sexual abuse scandal going on in Penn State. All the hype that Fox put around the Santos Velasquez UFC, the fight that lasted 1 minute and 4 seconds. Last night, for those of you who caught it, the Pacquiao fight with Marquez, another great fight. If you're a boxing purist, you had to love that fight last night. Pacquiao escapes with a win and a majority decision, a fight that easily could have gone, it probably should have gone draw, but again, more powers that be evolved in that. Obviously, we'll get into a little bit of talk about the hot stove baseball. We'll get into a little bit about Pacquiao Marquez. A little bit. We're not going to spend a lot of time on Penn State. You know, it's been beat up basically all week long. Many of you are already aware of the firing of Joe Paterno after, you know, 46 years, literally 6 decades of his relevance to the Penn State program. 40 years. I mean, the last time Penn State football played a football game without Joe Paterno as their head coach, it was 1964. Give you an idea how far back. I think I was 2 when that time came. So, I mean, just a tremendously long time. College football last night, a ton. Anytime you get more than 2 upsets in college football, it's a bit of a shock, obviously. But a lot of fun things. We'll get down into the college scoreboard from last night as well. NCAA basketball just got underway. So for those of you Duke fans, North Carolina fans, get your rally caps on because it's going to be a fun season. I don't think there's going to be a lot of transition. Again, from 6 down to 1, they'll jockey for position throughout the season. Obviously, it doesn't really matter until you get to March. It is kind of just fun to watch all the highlights and see the big boys just kind of hone their skills as they all just basically get ready for March Madness when that time comes around. But today it's all about the National Football League. It's all about college football. It's all about the BCS and, of course, the ancillary things that, of course, Pacquiao Marquez. And, again, I keep harping on this UFC. In prime time, you know, Fox spent an awful lot of money to hype Cain Velasquez. I mean, the man even showed up on their NFL pregame show with, you know, the Fox pregame show. And the fight lasted 1 minute and 4 seconds, which involved in Velasquez basically getting knocked out by Junior Dos Santos. I saw the punch. And again, I can only imagine these are big men, but very, very powerful guys. I've seen great punches, and then I've seen what I saw last night, which looked very, very pedestrian at best. Again, I've never been hit in the temple and certainly never been hit by, you know, a 6-foot-plus, you know, 260-pound guy. So I can't speak to whether or not it was legit or not, but I just know what I saw. All right, first and foremost, for 10:03 on your week 10 of the National Football League, it is a happy, happy 11/13 to everyone. For those of you celebrating Veterans Day, are making it beyond just a day, making it a weekend, God bless you. We're thankful for everything our troops do. We're thankful for all of the veterans, and we honor you every day by appreciating the freedoms that you all provide for us in this country. So thank you very, very much. Let's run them down right now. Top 25 in college football. Here you go. Number 25, Baylor takes care of Kansas in a very, very entertaining football game, 31-30. Kansas had plenty of opportunities to do something about that. Again, Baylor, a good program. Nice to see those guys coming back. Number 24, Michigan takes care of Illinois, 31-14. This game was really, really boring. But kudos to the Illinois defense for at least 3 quarters of that game, keeping Michigan close and giving Illinois a chance to at least compete in that game. Illinois has got some major league woes on the offensive side of the ball. They're going to have to work out if that program's ever going to be more. Again, they took a cake schedule early on in the season, got to 6-0, and now they've proverbially lost the last four, so they're 6-4 now. While being bowl eligible, the quality of that bowl is slipping very quickly. Number 23 is Cincinnati, a loser to West Virginia, 24-21. USM ekes by UCF, 30-29. Number 18, Wisconsin rolls over Minnesota 42-13. Number 17, Michigan State handles Iowa 37-21. Number 16, Texas gets drubbed by Missouri 17-5 in what can only be called just an ugly performance by Texas. Georgia rolls over Auburn, that's 15, over number 20, 45-7. Kansas State, a 53-50 win over Texas A&M. That was an absolute, a greatly entertaining ball game. South Carolina ekes by Florida, 17-12. In what was largely the game of the day for no other reason than the circumstances at Penn State, Nebraska edges out Penn State 17-14. That's number 19 over number 12. But that game had less to do about football and more to do about solidarity between both programs as everyone came to the center of the field before the game just to pray. And the more you talk to people, the more you hear them talk about praying for the victims, praying for the university, praying for the time for healing, and so on and so forth. So kudos to Nebraska for how they comported themselves. Kudos to Penn State, the players. And for what it's worth, I don't know if anyone actually took the game ball to Joe Paterno, but you saw all the signs in the stadium yesterday about how much they missed Joe, how much they loved him. Again, first time since 1965, and again, that was when he first became their head coach, Penn State plays a football game without Joe Pa. And the players themselves will tell you it just was not the same. To lighter news and obviously more exciting, the number 11 Houston Cougars roll over Tulane 73-17. Houston's good. And we're going to talk about the other Houston team when we get into the NFL side. But this Houston Cougars football team is exciting and fun to watch. Moving on, Georgia Tech takes care of Virginia Tech. No, I'm sorry, other way around. Va Tech takes care of Georgia Tech, 37-26. Number 9, Clemson, a 31-28 winner over Wake Forest. Number 8, Arkansas rolls over Tennessee. Tennessee is just having all kinds of problems. Again, they're going to have to go back to the good old-fashioned fundamentals because for those of us who can remember when it was Peyton Manning in the Tennessee Vols, that was a fun team to watch, and it's been a while since Tennessee's been relevant in college football. Boise State falls. That's right, number 5 falls to TCU, 36-35. And in what had to be the game of the night, the Oregon Ducks, the number 7 ranked Oregon Ducks, upset the number 4 Stanford Cardinals, 53-30. What can I tell you? Andrew Luck looked very pedestrian at times, and Oregon's speed was really, really prevalent, and they had no answer for the big plays. So, again, Oregon makes itself relevant again. Projected BCS standings are obviously a major league shakeup coming down the pipe. Alabama, 24-7 win over Mississippi State. Number 2, Oklahoma State continues to solidify its spot at number 2, rolling over Texas Tech 66-6. LSU takes care of business against Wake Forest 42-9. Solidifying its spot at number 1. That's your top 25 rundown. Your projected BCS lookout is going to look a little bit like this. LSU should be number 1, Oklahoma State 2, Alabama 3. Those will not change. However, 4 and 5 now could easily be Oregon and Oklahoma. That's right. Oklahoma had the bye this week, but they're going to get the benefit of the Stanford and the Boise State loss and ease right up in there and become relevant once again as a top five ranked program. Also, programs such as the Houston Cougars, I don't know where they're going to land. And since Clemson did win, Arkansas won, but Virginia Tech's win over Georgia Tech wasn't that impressive. So you'd love to see the Houston Cougars at least get into that top 10 mix, get a BCS game. Of course, they're not a conference affiliate, so that there's an at-large possibility for Houston there as well. So I'd love to see Houston on a big stage and get some notoriety exposure. I'm going to have to do a little more research into those guys because I think that's something kind of special brewing out there. In the meantime, for the Oregon Ducks, they kind of sit in the driver's seat as far as the Pac-12 goes now with the Stanford loss. They own this control over Stanford with the win. Both teams are one-loss teams in the conference, so it looks like it's going to be a duck quackery all over again, ladies and gentlemen. So 10:09 for your morning, fastest 60 minutes in sports as we roll on. We'll talk in a minute right after this.
The sights of summer. Don't blink. They go fast. Summer's best event from Cadillac. This summer, you do have a choice. And the time is now.
So, Still deciding between Verizon DSL and Comcast high-speed internet? Well, you should get the whole story.
Yeah, hi, I'd like to know, how fast is Verizon DSL?
Well, that depends.
Depends on what?
On where you live.
On where I live? All right, well, do I pay less if I get a slower connection?
No.
You're kidding me.
Right. Now, let's hear that conversation with Comcast.
Hello, Comcast.
Yeah, hi, I'm curious. How much faster are you than Verizon DSL?
Oh, there's really no comparison, sir. With our 3-meg service, we're up to 3 times faster than Verizon 768K DSL. You see, we're a 100% pure broadband network.
So you guys really are the best.
Absolutely. We're the number one high-speed internet provider in America.
Wow, I almost made the wrong call. But I'm going with Comcast.
If you're looking for the best internet experience, make the right call. Comcast high-speed internet. Nothing else comes close.
Download speed compared to 768K DSL. Upstream limited to 256K. Many factors affect speed, and actual speeds may vary. Call Comcast for pricing and service detail.
Back on the ride, Fast 60 Minutes of Sports rolls on. Week 10 on tap. For those of you waiting for your pregame shows, Fox will get it started in about 50 minutes. CBS will get it started. Big time games today with playoff implications. But before we do that, and many of you already know my latest disdain for the National Basketball Association and an inability to not only take care of its players, but certainly an inability to take care of the fans. I have not heard as many fans. I can't imagine the absolute disdain. I mean, you're going to try to fill arenas now for what would be at best a 72-game season for the National Basketball Association at a time now when Shaquille O'Neal decides to publish a book. Never shy about talking about his fellow players or legends, that matter. Shaq himself comes out slamming Kobe and slamming Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Well, again, I guess there's nothing else going on with basketball, so why not read Shaq's excerpt? During his 19-year NBA career, he's never shy about talking about really anybody. So it really should be no surprise that Shaq and Jackie McMullen have put out this book. Basically talking about just about anybody that has come across his path. That book will be out on next Tuesday, the 15th. So there you go. And a few excerpts made to the media. Kobe Bryant disobeyed 2003 coaching staff directive to stop publicly criticizing each other. Instead, he quickly did an interview with ESPN reporter Jenny Gray, who questioned the center, questioned Shaq's fitness and the lingering toe injury back in 2003. Shaq talks about Kareem never being around, and whenever he saw him, he usually ignored me. It was a disappointing thing being in L.A. all those years and trying to fill those shoes. Shaq saying he would have liked to have at least had a conversation with Kareem. He'd say hello, but I was looking for, hey, do this, or hey, watch out for that. He knew everyone was comparing me to him. He just knew better than anyone that I was up against it, but he gave me nothing in return. The sad thing about this is he's probably telling you the gut-wrenching truth. As we start to see more of these books come out, I'll take you back to the book written by Jose Canseco for baseball that everyone literally slammed because they thought there's just no way this bitter ex-ball player could come out with a book. And then as time went on, we started to see all these things come to fruition as being factual and that Jose Canseco wasn't bitter. He was telling you the truth. And most of us just didn't want to accept that our beloved sport of baseball was somehow tainted. Well, I don't know what would it make you think that there aren't real live human beings behind these fabricated stars that we've somehow conjured up in our minds. So all that said, Shaq is probably telling you the truth. And, again, the reality, whether we want to believe it or not, is that the NBA's got some major league problems. Their business model is fractured. It's broken. And David Stern, who, again, put in place by the owners, has laid out this 50-50 kind of plan. And I think this is more of a Band-Aid than necessarily an actual agreement. I don't know the specific terms of it in terms of how long the agreement is, but a 50-50 split may be as close as the players will ever actually get. Because and this is going to sound really, really bad, but Massa over there don't want to give up no money to the good brothers who want to actually have to go out there and play the game. So if the best deal is 47%, and again, I don't know what the percentages were in the past, but the business-related income of basketball-related income, the BRI as it's called, at 47% to the guys who go out there every single night, lay it on the line, is largely an abomination, I guess, and I say that from a fan's perspective. Again, I don't know all the ins and outs. I know these guys are in this to make money. Ownership certainly wants to make its fair share of money. But how much is enough? And who's suffering at this point? It's 10:14 on Sunday morning, and I pose that question to anyone out there. who's left behind right now other than the fans? Because I understand that there are players in the National Basketball Association that don't have fat contracts. That some of them have gotten jobs at Foot Lockers and restaurants, and you know, and that's all well and good. But there is a chunk of players past that fourth or fifth year that have made millions, that have done right by their money. They're not hurting. I mean, there's no way you're going to convince me, or for that matter, a working class citizen, that that these guys are somehow hurting. You know. Again, that said, and now, oh, here we go. A retort from Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. It says, as a pro, I never approached Shaq because I thought he was pretty successful dunking everything, and I assumed he didn't want my help. Additionally, I was never on the coaching staff of any of his teams. I was never unfriendly to him. I would talk to him, but Shaq was enjoying his success doing it his way. He never asked me what I thought he should be doing, and he never tried to reach out for me for any instruction, and I respected that decision. Yeah. All right. So the group goes on further to say, if I had any idea that Shaq wanted to learn from me, I would have been happy to have worked with him, but all indications that I have received was that he felt he was doing fine and didn't need or want my help. I'm totally surprised by Shaq's comments, as I tried to respect his privacy and never got any indication from anyone that he wanted or needed any input from me with regard to how to play the game. Shaq had a great career, and I, like everyone else, respect what he has achieved. Well, now there's a very, very special, honest candor from, again, the leading scorer in NBA history, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Huh. Again, I don't think those guys have too much animosity. I think, you know, Shaq may be just, you know, feeling to some degree as if, you know, somehow after 19 years and a ton of success and some championships, that somehow he should be maybe beloved. Well, guess what? Shaquille O'Neal is not Magic Johnson. He's never going to be Magic Johnson. He's going to go down in history as one of the greatest centers of all time. He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. This should be really, you know, a blip on a pimple on the tuchus, if you will, if he wants to become friends. And of course, you know what? As you retire and you go into that quiet little, you know, latter years of broadcasting, whatever Shaq's going to do, you'll become friends with all those icons. It's historic. It's going to happen. You'll become friends with those guys. In the meantime, let's move on. Can we do that? Let's move on. So last night, Manny Pacquiao gets in the ring with Marquez. Marquez, again, gives it all. And, again, a great fight. And what is termed now as a narrow escape. There's no other way to put it. A narrow escape by Manny Pacquiao, who wins a majority decision over Marquez in a fight that certainly could have gone either way. Let's see. This just in, Manny Pacquiao escapes again. This could happen already. This just in, Manny Pacquiao escapes again in a decision that left Juan Manuel Marquez fuming once again. Well, again, you had Marquez fans booing and throwing things in the ring at the end of it. Pacquiao won on two scores, while the third, it was a draw. For those who got a chance to see the fight, personally, I think it was a draw. Let's see. Dan Raphael simply writes, Manny Pacquiao again was given all he can handle from Juan Manuel Marquez in a back-and-forth 12-round battle, but in the end, judges awarded Pacquiao another close decision. Speculation, of course, and conspiracy theorists believe that Manny Pacquiao had to win this fight in order to set up a Pacquiao-Mayweather fight, which could, if they can ever get the particulars worked out, happen maybe in May of 2012. It is something that I know Aram wants. It is something that you know, Floyd Mayweather does not want. Again, it's just one of those things where if you're Floyd Mayweather and you're undefeated, you've never been tainted, do you want to get into the ring with someone that is just as fast as you, just as quick as you, and maybe certainly a little bit more driven to do that? Pacquiao wants this fight. It would appear, and I say appear, tongue-in-cheek now, it would appear Floyd Mayweather does not, forgetting the fact that both of them could probably reach easily a $100 million payday. So go figure that one out. In the meantime, it's 10:18 on your morning. Let's talk a little Major League Baseball. I know most of you have that off the radar right now, but we understand that Jonathan Papelbon has accepted a fat deal from the Philadelphia Phillies to go be their closer. How much pitching is enough in Philly? They've got the best pitching rotation in baseball. Now you've got one of the best closers at the end of your games, and yet you still find a way to kind of stub your toe. The Philadelphia Phillies on paper should be dominating baseball, yet they're going to get pressure from the Atlanta Braves. I don't know if St. Louis will take major league steps back with La Russa being out of the picture. Of course, a lot of that will hinge next year on what happens with Albert Pujols and some of the other guys there. The Florida Marlins are now in the mix in the Pujols thing. They've already tried to reach out to Albert to give him an offer. And again, if that's Florida, you know that's Ozzie Guillen. Mark Burley now entertaining an issue, an offer us to consider going to the Marlins as well. If that comes to fruition, exactly what is Ozzie trying to do already? Because he's got it rolling down there. He's trying to get some horses in place. And where is Theo? Where are the Cubs and their manager? What are they going to do? Do the Theo Epstein-led Chicago Cubs go after an Albert Pujols, or do they go after a Prince Fielder? And it's not a matter of money. They've got the money. They've got the money, so that's not the issue. And, again, does Albert Pujols want to stay in the National League? And name me a team that would not want Albert Pujols, or for that matter, name me a team that doesn't want a Prince Fielder, with the exception of the Yankees, who have Teixeira. Who doesn't want either one of those guys? I mean, let's face it, the offers are going to be there. They're going to be huge. They're going to be large. Now, a moment of NASCAR love, because it's gotten real dicey in the NASCAR world. For those of you who follow NASCAR, you got two big horses basically pushing for this NASCAR championship, and that's Tony Stewart and Carl Edwards. I'm going to tell you right now, point blank, for those of you trying to hit me up, I'm a Carl Edwards fan. Why? Because he's humble and he works his tail off. I have nothing against Tony Stewart, but I the idea of bragging about he better watch out is just it's good sport. It's good for maybe the viewership. Certainly, it's not the best sportsmanship, but you know, in the most recent race down in Texas, again, Stewart wins first. Edwards is literally a second behind the guy and wins second. There's a 3-point differential in the NASCAR world between the two, with Carl Edwards currently leading in the NASCAR Chase Series. So this afternoon, for those of you who want to follow NASCAR, they're in Phoenix. This is a track, it's a mile and a half oval, and I'll be candid. This is one that Carl Edwards is probably more likely to do better than Tony Stewart. Tony's not had a lot of success out there in Phoenix, so it will be interesting to see how this plays itself out. And you know, give NASCAR credit for hyping this whole thing up of basically Carl versus Tony. Well, again, two races left, polar opposites, yet they call both of them NASCAR heavyweights. So go figure. It all happens today at 1 o'clock Central Time, the Cobalt Tools 500 out in Phoenix, and there you go. Now, before I go any further, it's 10:21 on your Sunday morning. I need to give a little love to the Clemson Tigers. Just a real quick blip, a little segue here. They clinched the ACC in their division last night. They're ninth ranked. Except for a stub last week and then their one loss, Clemson is really, really fun to watch. And I don't know enough about the roster to speak honestly whether or not they're going to be building something, if they're full of seniors or juniors otherwise. But if they're young, and I hope they are, the Clemson Tigers are building something really, really special. It'll be fun to watch in college football for the next few years. So keep that. For those of you Ohio State fans looking for something better to do than just root for an Ohio State program that's going to be under some sanctions for a couple of years, look at Clemson. Just look at them. I mean, they're built for speed. They're built for explosive plays. If you're a Madden fan or a college football video game fan, you got to watch Clemson. They're just fun to watch. And, again, not an indictment of Oklahoma State. They're fun, too. Again, Oklahoma State averaging almost 60 points a game. Of course, later on this year, they'll have to face Oklahoma at the end of the year, and that will ultimately decide Oklahoma State's fate, whether or not they're going to be in a national title picture or just be in a good bowl game as a team that stubbed its toe at the end of the year. So, 10:23, past the 60 minutes in sports. Where are we going next? College basketball. Seriously. All right. Well, as most of you know, the college basketball season just got underway. There are some games today. Nothing really to talk about on the scoreboard. North Carolina is the best team in the country right now. Duke will have something to say about that in a few weeks. Expect Krzyzewski to get his 903rd win against Michigan State when they play middle part of next week. Again, it's all about Mike and him finally ousting Bobby Knight as the winningest basketball coach in college basketball history. Well, do we have to talk about this? All right, fine. Let's give some love to the UFC, only because it's mixed martial arts, and Fox put a whole lot of money behind this thing, and, you know, as much as we'd love to say Velasquez will learn from his mistakes, yeah. A minute and 4 seconds into this fight, Junior Dos Santos knocks out Cain Velasquez. Now, if you saw the punch, and you saw him go down, you just got to wonder, well, this is the man, obviously, who's never, ever been knocked down. He was completely lost and confused and was just taking an absolute pounding, and, of course, the referee had no alternative but to stop him. But here's basically the story. The new heavyweight champion, UFC, was, as usual, all smiles during Saturday post-fight. At one point, UFC president Dana White revealed that an estimated 60 million Brazilians watched their countryman take the title with a first-round knockout of Cain Velasquez. Dos Santos, in the sort of childlike demeanor he's become to know, gasped and stunned, wow, after adding, I'm famous. His reaction was humorous one. Dos Santos laughed, White laughed, everyone did. Everyone, of course, except Velasquez, the former heavyweight champion, who was a gracious loser despite suffering a highlight reel 64-second knockout loss on the biggest stage the UFC and mixed martial arts have ever seen. He applauded politely when the UFC belt was wrapped around Dos Santos' waist, and he attended the news conference to talk about the experience. But as the rest of the media room chuckled at Dos Santos, Velasquez set his eyes straight forward, expressionless. He's not angry, but he knows he didn't follow the game plan, said Javier Mendez, Velasquez's striking coach. We as coaches and friends took it worse than he did. It's unbelievable how mentally sharp and professional he is. I guarantee you this kid is a fighter. He'll come back. Before the definitive ending of Saturday night's fight, many speculated that it would be merely a first chapter in a long story involving Dos Santos and Velasquez. They are both young, Junior Santos 27, Velasquez 29, and clearly talented. Despite the statement from White that the heavyweight division looks better than ever, it certainly looked coming into this weekend that these two stood above the rest. Despite what happened Saturday, that belief may still hold true. Dos Santos, 14-1, is in position to hold on to the belt for the unforeseeable future. Following this performance, he is the undisputed best heavyweight in the world, and he's faced all types of challenges. Velasquez, 9-1, will, as Mendez said, be back. The taste of his loss in Anaheim, where he received massive support, won't fade quickly. The belief that he lost because he wavered from the game plan and not because he was the inferior fighter won't fade either. I didn't pressure enough. The game plan was to pressure, Velasquez said. I waited far back for too long. I was playing Dos Santos games. It was my fault. That is from Cain Velasquez himself. 1 minute and 4 seconds, and this fight lasted longer than this amount of time that we've spent talking about it. It's 10:26 for your morning fast of 60 minutes of sports. We'll roll on right after. We got these where we got to pay some bills, y'all. Let's pay some bills.
Getting the whole family ready for high-definition TV is easy with Turbo HD by Dish Network. You get more TV for less money, including Disney's Channel HD with hit series Wizards of Waverly Place, Hannah Montana, and The Sweet Life on Deck. With over 120 HD channels available now, there's something for everyone. And you'll love the savings. Packages start at just $24.99 a month. Call today and get HBO and Starz free for 3 months. To get Disney Channel HD today, call Dish Network.
We're here asking people from all over what they think of Lipton green tea. Let's hear what people from Texas have to say.
Mm-mm.
How about China?
Mm.
Germany?
Mm.
How about people from the North Pole?
Mm.
Or Mars? What about mimes? Oh, right. People with their jaws wired shut?
Oh.
Yeah, a barbershop quartet. Oh, you guys are great. How about race car drivers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what about you, high school glee club, here on a field trip?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that settles it. It sounds like everyone loves the taste of Lipton green tea. With its protective antioxidants from real tea, it's not just good for you, it's to you. Lipton tea can do that.
Back on the ride, week 10 rankings. All right, guys, we're running a little short. It's 10:28 Sunday morning. Got to get you your rankings for your fantasy players. We let you know where everybody falls because we've got 25 minutes of fun. Your week 10 VIN picks is on tap. Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks from our buddies over at ESPN, Mike and Mike, all on tap right now. A couple of things to keep in mind for those of you who are looking at San Diego-Oakland game. Of course, what's that mean moving forward for Oakland now that they basically are kind of in control of what goes on in that division? And can Kansas City step up? But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's get into your rankings. And this time we're going to go backwards. We always start with the quarterbacks. I'm not giving the quarterbacks that much love just yet. Let's go backwards. Let's start on the back end. Let's give you your top 10 defenses and then work our way back. So Week 10, the National Football League. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Number 10 this week, the Dallas Cowboys. They get Buffalo. Number 9, the Bears going up against Detroit. Not sure about that one, but I guess they feel like the Bears defense is coming into its own. Number 8, the Bullies themselves, the New York Jets getting New England. Number 7, Green Bay gets Minnesota. I don't like that one much, but okay. Number 6, the Detroit Lions defense. Very, very angry bunch of Lions going up against the Bears this week. Number 5, the Steelers against Cincinnati. Number 4, the Texans going up against Tampa Bay. Number 3, Philly. Love that one going up against Arizona. Number 2, the 49ers up against the Giants. Nice to see the 49ers back in the fray again. And the number 1 defense this week, for those of you playing fantasy, the Baltimore Ravens. They get to travel out to Seattle and hold down the Seattle Seahawks. That's your love for there. Let's go to your kickers for Week 10 of the National Football League. Kickers this week start out number 10. Are we refreshing or what? We're not refreshing. All right, number 10, Dan Carpenter. That's the Dolphins against the Skins. Number 9, Robbie Gould of the Bears goes up against the Lions. Number 8, Jason Hansen of the Lions getting the Bears. Number 7, Steven Gostkowski. That's the Patriots kicker. Number 6, Neil Rackus of the Texans. Number 5, Billy Kunda for the Ravens goes up against Seattle. Number 4, Danny Bailey, Dallas going up against Buffalo. Number 3, John Casey, the Saints going up against Atlanta. That's going to be a whole lot of fun in that game. Number 3, John Casey gets the Saints again. Number 2, David Akers, the Niners against the Giants. Number 1, of course, Mason Crosby, Green Bay going up against Minnesota. So fun stuff where the kickers are concerned there. Now to your tight ends, wide outs that aren't wide. Well, they are wide. They're just not getting a lot of run. Anyway, well, then again, some of them are getting quite a bit of run. So let's get into it. Number 10, Tony Gonzalez out of Atlanta. Number 9, Brandon Pettigrew, the Lions tight end. Number 7, actually number 8, Freddie Davis, the Redskins going up against Miami. Number 7, Owen Daniels of the Houston Texans. Number 6, Greg Olsen, little love for Carolina. Number 5, Aaron Hernandez, New England. Number here we go again. The Saints are the only team that gets two tight ends in the top 10 list. Rob Gronkowski, the other one, comes in at number 4 going up against the Jets. Number 3, Jermichael Finley, Green Bay going up against Minnesota. Number 2, Jimmy Graham, New Orleans going up against Atlanta. And number 1, and this is all matchup driven, Jason Witten out of the Dallas Cowboys. Comes in at number 1. That's your number 1 tight end for this week. So if you got him, start him. If you don't have him, well, you see if you can make a trade. And you're running out of time. 10:31, 11:31 on the East Coast. Let's get into your wideouts. Number 10 this week, Dwayne Bowe out of Kansas City. Number 9. Well, hang on a second. We've got a nice little conundrum here. Actually, it looks like there might be 11, but they're all so crowded together, it's kind of hard to tell. So we got two 10s. We have two number 10s, Roddy White, Dwayne Bowe coming at the same time. Roddy White out of Atlanta. Number 9, Larry Fitzgerald, Arizona gets Philadelphia. Number 8, if he plays, Hakeem Nicks of the Giants against the 49ers. Number 7, Jeremy Maclin, the Eagles wideout against Arizona. Number 5, Wes Welker. We have two number 5s as well. Wes Welker, again, if he can get off the line from Darrelle Revis, should have a big-time game. The other number 5 this week is Dez Bryant at Dallas. Again, that's a matchup-driven perspective against Buffalo. Number 4, Mike Wallace of the Pittsburgh Steelers against Cincinnati. Number 3, Steve Smith, the Carolina wideout going up against Tennessee. Got to love that one. Number 2, Greg Jennings in Green Bay against Minnesota. And, of course, number 1, Calvin Johnson. We're tired of seeing Megatron at the top, but he's had some big-time games against the Chicago Bears, and there are those who believe that he could get 2 touchdowns even today. If that's the case, it puts a lot of pressure on that Bears team to continue to control tempo and keep that offense off the field. Let's go to your running backs. Number 10 this week, Frank Gore out of the Niners going up against the Giants. Number 9, Steven Jackson, the Rams running back against Cleveland. Number 8, Michael Turner going up against the Saints. Number 7, Freddie Jackson, Buffalo's running back against Dallas. Number 6, Ray Rice gets some love going up against Seattle. Maurice Jones-Drew up against Indianapolis. And I told you, well, I haven't told you yet, but you'll find us in enough. There's going to be something special in that game. Number 4, Matt Forte has huge games against the Lions historically. Number 3, LeSean Shaney McCoy up against Arizona. Number 2, Adrian Peterson. That's right, AP is not number 1 this week. But the number 1 running back this week out of Houston is Arian Foster. They get Tampa Bay, and Tampa Bay has shown a propensity to have issues stopping the run, as evidenced by what Matt Forte did against them. And that takes us now to your quarterbacks. You've been asking about it. Let's break them down for you. This top 10 starts with Ben Roethlisberger at Pittsburgh going up against Cincinnati. Number 9, Tim Tebow. Wow, at Kansas City. Number 8, Tony Romo, Dallas gets Buffalo. Number 7, Tom Brady plugs in and going up against the Jets. Number 6, Matthew Stafford against Chicago. I'm going to say this, and it's probably going to be really, really wrong and inappropriate, but Matthew Stafford against the Bears in Chicago, and the man has not had his season-ending injury yet. That's all you need to know. He's not been hit the way the Bears have historically hit him. So, yeah, And number five, Eli Manning, the Giants going up against the 49ers. Number three, Drew Brees. That should be a fun game. Brees and the Saints going up against Atlanta. Number three, Michael Vick going up against, actually at home going up against the Arizona Cardinals. Number two this week is Cam Newton. Carolina gets Tennessee looking for big numbers out of Cam. And number one this week, as if you haven't heard this enough times, Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, going up against the Minnesota secondary, which is, as always, incredibly, incredibly questionable. It is 10:34 for your morning on the fastest 60 minutes in sports, and it is time. And we love doing this because we love our buddies. The next 15 minutes, we give over to our buddies at Mike and Mike in the Morning, ESPN Morning Radio, as they share with you their Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks for Week 10 in the National Football League. Here you go.
The time has finally arrived.
Yes!
All right. These are the Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks.
Whoopee!
An ESPN Radio exclusive.
I gotta give it up for Week 9. And for this week, my operative phrase is, do not ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee.
For whom the bell tolls.
I told you at the time, and I'm telling you again. The Baltimore Ravens will rue the day they ran up the score on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But go on! Stop ruining! I said it the day after it happened in Week 1, and I'm saying it again now.
And I'm saying it again now. And I'm saying it again now. And I'm saying it again now. And I'm saying it again now. And I'm
saying it again now!
The Steelers are going to remember it. Mike Tomlin's going to burn it into their memories. And they're going to come out even angrier than normal, and they are going to stop the Baltimore Ravens.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rule. Rule number one, no touching of the hair or face. And that's it!
The Steelers are playing better than the Ravens are right now. They're going to have that angry memory, that bad taste.
Oh, God. The dog went on the picnic basket.
And they're beating up Baltimore big. Give me the Steelers minus three. I like the Steelers for a big win.
Hey, I just found out it's November. What the happened?
I'm going to go to Kansas City where the greatest tailgate is in all of the NFL, maybe even in college. The smell of that stadium and the way the Chiefs are playing right now. Kansas City with some Arrowhead magic on Halloween! I know it's a short week, but they're hosting the Miami Dolphins, who are short on wins, as in no wins.
We're losing!
And it's not going to get much better for them here.
They're burying us alive!
Kansas City is on a roll. They had major injuries early.
Does this hurt?
Put them in that 0-3 hole, but they have been on a roll since, and that is going to continue.
Shut up, damn it!
When you're playing a team that doesn't have wins and you jump on them early, you can take them out of the game, and that's what the Chiefs are going to do.
I have no strong feelings one way or the other.
They're giving 5.5 to Miami. That's plenty. They'll easily outdo that. They may beat them by double digits.
Should we trust him, your neutralness?
All I know is my gut says maybe.
And then finally we'll go head-to-head on the Giants at the Patriots.
Meanwhile, at the Hall of Doom.
On Monday night when we did SportsCenter, you listed your top five teams in the NFL. You listed the Giants and left out the Patriots. In the 12 years I've known you, that was the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Okay, Greeny, in the almost 12 years that I've known you, this is the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Hi, Sexy. You have reached the one out of...
Okay, guys. For those of you at 619-639-4747, obviously there is a problem, gentlemen, because that is last week's Stone Cold Lead Pipe Lock, not this week's. Just happened to catch the fact that that's a game that's already happened, you goofy. It's already happened. All right, we're going to try this. I don't know if it's going to work or not, but if nothing else, I'll verbalize it as it plays. All right. Now, I am not sure if any of you all can actually hear that.
You can't just start a slow clap at any old time. You gotta wait for the right moment.
Jacksonville's giving Indianapolis 3. I won't watch this game. Nobody will watch this game. This game's gonna stink.
That's right, it stinks!
Both teams stink. But you know what? the Colts get their first win of the year.
I'm sorry, is that funny? Are you stand-up comics? Is that what you do now?
They beat Jacksonville, and then there's another race for Andrew Luck.
Why, that doesn't make any sense.
The Colts get their first win of the 2011 season.
It's just idiotic, if you'll forgive my saying so. That's just stupid.
And then finally, we'll go head-to-head in Chicago, where I'm going to do all my friends a favor. I have a million friends in Chicago. I lived and worked there for 11 years. I got a lot of family in Chicago. They're all Crazy Bear fans. And the best thing I can do for them is to pick them.
And this all makes sense. I was worried there for a second.
Because my picks are so ridiculously bad. And Lovie Smith and that football team, they love wearing that chip on their shoulders. So I'll give them another one.
It's okay. You can have it.
I don't buy the Bears. I'll take the Lions on the road. I'm getting a point. The Lions will win the game straight up.
What is this with Lions?
Wow. I'm going with Chicago on this one. I think they're playing well. The key is keeping Cutler up against that great Detroit defensive line. Forte can help there. I think Chicago's going to go on a bit of a roll.
Go Lions! Touchdown! Touchdown Bears!
And I think they're going to win. And you just picked Detroit to suck up to the Chicago people.
His face is covered with blood, sweat, and dust.
And those here weekends don't go like
that! I'm too tired to prolong this brutal exchange between a bedraggled microbe and a Nobel-level thinker. Keep out of my way.
Mike and Mike and our Stone Cold Lead Pipe Locks brought to you by Peak Antifreeze. Protect your ride no matter what you drive. When you peak, you win. I've got the Steelers giving points against Cincinnati. Golic is taking Indianapolis to get off the schneid.
Uh-huh.
They go head-to-head on the Bears and the Lions. It's worth pointing out again, dating back to last year, including playoffs and Super Bowl, out of the last 55 games, I am 17-35-3.
You stink!
Again, people, you could build a mansion in Vegas, yeah, betting against me.
You could.
Golic is 29-21-5.
That's not great, but it's way. Well, you know what? When I'm comparing to you, I'm
good.
The best.
Picking against the spread, Mike. That's good.
Is
that's
it?
That's good.
I'm not a gambler.
That's
I don't know, winning. But I
you
know,
would be ahead.
But I know I've made a lot of money off your bad picks.
Yeah, anybody has. So there we have a look at those. A couple other big games. Let's make some picks here.
All right.
Buffalo at Dallas. Cowboys at home, giving 5.5. This is my. I don't do this, but and obviously my picks are so atrociously bad. But if I were to put a star next to mine, you know, your best bet of the week, this would be mine.
Really?
I love the Cowboys.
I do, too, but now I want to change. I mean, but I do. I like the way they're playing right now. They'll get that running game going with DeMarco Murray. I do like that. The Buffalo can counter with Fred Jackson, so this would be a game that could be controlled on the ground. But I'm with you. I'm kind of leaning toward Dallas and home in this one, even though 5.5 points makes me a little skittish with sometimes how they play.
I'll tell you who's the player to watch in this game is DeMarcus Ware. The Jets had a very good attack last week going against it, going in and getting pressure on Ryan Fitzpatrick. Aaron Maben was getting in there. Calvin Pace was getting in there. You give a guy like DeMarcus Ware a shot like this, I think
you.
He could wreak havoc.
I'm with you, but if Buffalo gets a running game going, that's going to negate it, and that's what they're going to really try and do.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm thinking Rex Ryan defense, Rob Ryan defense.
Yeah.
It just sort of feels like a natural, and you know me. I've been on the Cowboys bandwagon all year long. It made me look very bad a few times. We'll see if it happens again. Huge game, New Orleans at Atlanta. It's a pick'em. I'm looking at today's lines. It is a pick'em game at the Falcons. What do you think?
Well, listen, again, I have picked Atlanta to make it out of the NFC, so there are times when I have to go with them if they're going to get there, and this is a home division game. So I think this is one of those times I have to go with them. Drew Brees has got that offense flying in New Orleans, but he does throw the interceptions. They do have some turnovers. You got to love what the offense can bring, too, if they run the ball in Atlanta with Turner. I really like it when they focus on that to help set up that passing game. So the pick-em line, I think, is a fair line, and I'm going to go with Atlanta.
I am, too. Does it sort of feel like Atlanta's coming together a little bit?
I think so. I really do. And New Orleans, it's still one of those teams where they can score 40 on you or, you know, the turnovers start to multiply a little bit, and they have a tough game. It's tough to know which way it can go.
Well, a lot of the good teams in the NFL, the teams that we think are good, have had inexplicable hiccups, right? I mean, New Orleans losing to St. Louis is inexplicable. Baltimore's performance on that Monday night against Jacksonville,
right,
inexplicable. And so those things sort of stay in your mind, and they make you a little nervous as far as just how good they are. The reality is no team in the NFL, with the possible exception of Green Bay, is all that good.
Right.
So they're always capable of that one hiccup. But I've liked Atlanta all along, and so I will go with the Falcons. One more. How about the Giants at San Francisco? The 49ers are a 3.5-point favorite. Any Giant fans here today? Okay, it's a Jet crowd for the most part, some Giant fans. What do you think?
What a game. You know, this comes down to the Giants really stopping Gore in a short passing game. Because Harbaugh can call Alex Smith elite all he wants. And what he's asking Alex Smith to do, Alex Smith is doing well this year. But you just like that rush if it turns into a – the Giants have to make it a passing game.
Exactly right.
And if they can make it a passing game, I think they're going to be in good shape. But what I do like about this, you'd say Giants in San Francisco, you know, what we've seen out of San Francisco in the last few years, and you think power against finesse. But this San Francisco team, they're a bruising team as well. So I tough to say the Giants can go out there and get the win, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to pick the Giants to go to the West Coast and get the
win. Here's the thing. Playing without Bradshaw and without Hakeem Nicks, they went up to New England against the worst pass defense in the NFL. And until those last two drives, they were really held in check.
They were.
Now, Eli put it together. They've run 165 yards in the last 6 minutes or whatever it was, and that was great. You know, when the defense is worn down. But the reality is that New England defense, so maligned, really, for the most part, shut them down the rest of the day. This San Francisco defense is much better.
Oh, they're so good against the run. I think giving up about, 70 yards a game or something like that. So it's going to be a tough test for the Giants. I'm a little shaky on this.
I like the 49ers at home giving the 3.5. Mike and Mike in the Morning, brought to you by JCPenney. Everybody wins. JCPenney, proud sponsor of Mike and Mike's football tour. Live here at MetLife Stadium this morning, including a live to State College, Tom Rinaldi with our Penn State coverage off the top, and then Ron Jaworski going all around the NFL with us in just a few minutes here on Mike and Mike in the Morning. But let's, with the game last night, San Diego, Oakland, the Raiders going on the road and winning, taking the 5-4. They're in the lead right now. Kansas City and Denver play each other this weekend, which becomes a big game. I mean, not a very, you know.
Yeah, not a glamorous-looking game,
but
it's a big game.
Yes. The reality is if Denver and Tebow should ever win this game, and Kansas City just put together a stinker last week, got blown out by previously winless Miami. If Denver and Tebow should ever win this game, you realize they will be one game out of the division lead.
Which tells you partly just how bad the division is. And listen, it's a bad division. But you know what? You're going to get a representative out of the division, and then you never know what can happen. Like Seattle winning their game last year for their first playoff game against New Orleans.
If you were to look at it and say to yourself, is there a team in that division that you could see breaking free from the pack and putting together a big second half? You know, there's a part of you that still wants to say San Diego just because of their history. But the reality is the team probably is Oakland.
I would say because
right?
Oakland,
if Palmer really comes along.
If Palmer comes along, again, I don't think Palmer has to be great. Palmer has to not turn the ball over. You got Darren McFadden, who hasn't been there in a bit, but we know what he can do, and Michael Bush can run extremely well as well. So, yes.
But you're not going to win big games hiding your quarterback.
No. I understand that. But you're going to be in games, and then you want him to make a play or two.
Right now, if we assess the top of the AFC, how do we do it?
Well,
what is the top of the AFC?
I think Baltimore's at the top.
Is the BCS their number one, despite the one really bad loss?
Bad loss. They beat Pittsburgh twice.
They've beaten the Jets.
Exactly. They have to be number one.
If you're looking at the other big teams in the conference, They've beaten the Jets and they've beaten the Steelers twice.
You know what Cincinnati is right now? Cincinnati's the Boise State.
That's exactly right.
They're the Boise State until this week and next week. They play Pittsburgh and then they play Baltimore, and then we'll see if they jump into one of the big, you know, BCS conferences.
And then
It's Subway Steak and Cheese Sub, Hearty Italian Bread.
With a bit more onion on it, please.
It's the steak and cheese on Hearty Italian Bread, but now with a bit of onion on it, Sub. Succulent steak, gently drizzled with...
Maybe a bit more.
Okay, totally loaded with Southwest sauce.
On some of those pepper thingies.
Okay, get ready. So really massively lovely steak and cheese thing, and yes, I'm starting to panic here. So only 8 seconds of airtime left, and by pepper thingies, I guess you're meaning jalapenos, Sub. Available at Subway.
Can I...
With olive. Feel good food, made the way you want it. We've got a Sub for that.
Back on the ride, 9:50 and counting on the show, and it would be remiss if we didn't say thank you to our buddies at ESPN. Guys, obviously someone sent the wrong file, and obviously we were able to pull literally a rabbit out of the tuchus on this one. Good job, guys, all things considered. But the most important aspect of the show is now upon us, and that, of course, is your Week 10 VIN Picks 2011, 91-39 for your season. Seriously? Actually, when you think of 91-39, so we're right around 69.5, 70% accurate on these picks, but it's a lot of fun doing them. We enjoy it. We know we feed you guys through Facebook, through the Fastest 60 Minutes in Sports Facebook page. Look for some more fun things to come out on that as well. But now, without further ado, it's 10:49. We're going to run down the end of the show with the Week 10 Ben Picks. Here you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Week 10, 2011 Ben Picks. Here we go. Pittsburgh at Cincinnati. The Steelers are a four-point favorite going into Cincinnati. The 6-2 Bengals have got to prove themselves as a solid defense, and a rookie quarterback have done amazing things this year. Can the upstart Bengals handle the pressure that pressure defense Dick LeBeau and the Steelers will bring this Sunday afternoon? I'm going to tell you, yes, they can. I'm calling for the upset. The Cincinnati Bengals will shock the NFL world and upset the four-point favorite Pittsburgh Steelers. Denver at Kansas City. The Chiefs are just weird. Get off to a rough start, then win three straight, then absolutely lay an egg at home against Miami. Go figure. The Chiefs are a three-point favorite against the Tim Tebow-led Denver Broncos. At home, KC should hold serve. Give me the Chiefs, and reluctantly I'll give those 3 points. Jacksonville at Indianapolis. Okay, the Jacksonville Jaguars are one-dimensional with Maurice Jones-Drew. Indianapolis is no-dimensional, nothing going on. If Peyton Manning were there, at best they'd be a 6-3 football team. But it is what it is. And here you go, Colts fans. Indianapolis at home today upsets the Jacksonville Jaguars and gets off the side, gets the first win. Indy over Jacksonville, and I appreciate the 3 points. Buffalo at Dallas. The Cowboys are a 5.5-point favorite only because Buffalo laid an egg when they had to play the Bullies last week in the Jets. So, which version of the Dallas Cowboys shows up? Is it the Tony Romo-led Cowboys to Dez Bryant and to all those weapons? Or is it the Ryan Fitzpatrick show? And all of a sudden, we get to know some household, soon-to-be household names out of Buffalo. Here you go, fans. It's in a controlled environment in Dallas. Buffalo is a quick team. This is going to be an absolute Donnybrook of a game, and I am going to tell you right now, Buffalo upset the Dallas Cowboys. I said it, and I'm not backing off of it. Houston at Tampa Bay. Houston's good. I mean, really, really good. Tampa Bay is yet to really kind of find itself. They've been reeling ever since the loss in London to the Bears, but that's all right. They're at home, and it's not going to make a difference. I don't think Andre Johnson's going to be back, but I don't think it's going to matter. Houston, far too talented. That running game's really, really strong. Two running backs. The tandem of Arian Foster and Ben Tate, too much for Tampa Bay. Houston gets the win in that game. Tennessee at Carolina. Really? Which iteration of the Tennessee Titans will you see today? Will it be the one that plays solid defense, controls tempo, or will it be the sub-timey Tennessee Titans that can't get out of their own way with penalties and turnovers? Cam Newton at home will take care of business. He's starting again to find his legs. I know he's got a little shoulder tweak going on there, but I honestly like Carolina. I'll give the 3.5 points. That's the spread. And Cam Newton gets it done against the Tennessee Titans today. Washington at Miami. Miami is a 4-point favorite for the first time in seemingly forever. Miami will get it done today. The Redskins cannot get out of their own way. Whether it's John Beck or Rex Grossman, it's not going to matter. The Miami defense is good against the run, and Miami will find ways to put 24 to 30 points up on the board against the once-vaunted Washington Redskins defense. Give me the Dolphins, and I'll give you the 4 points. The Saints at the Falcons. New Orleans goes into Atlanta. This has to be the absolute pick'em game. Split right down from NFL experts all the way through through Timbuktu, 50-50 across the board. Pick your poison. Drew Brees and his weapons, Matt Ryan and his weapons. The one X factor, the one, is tempo. If Atlanta can run the football with Michael Turner, they will control tempo and they'll win this game. If New Orleans can get the same out of Darren Sproles, such will be the case for the New Orleans Saints. Whoever can run the ball and run the ball most effectively will control that game. It's a pick'em. Take your pick. But for myself, I have a really rough time going against Drew Brees and those weapons just about every week. Detroit at Chicago. The Lions Well, the last 3 weeks, they've lost 2 out of 3, and they've lost 6 out of 7 to Chicago. Coming to Chicago is never, ever easy. And the Bears have found out how to protect Jay Cutler. For the first time and seemingly forever, Jay Cutler was not sacked against a really, really good Philadelphia Eagles defense. The Bears have found out how to protect him, and when you protect Jay Cutler, the Bears are a dangerous football team. Give me Chicago, and I'll give you the 2.5 points. St. Louis at Cleveland. The Rams go into Cleveland to face the Browns. Now, the Browns are a 2.5-point favorite only because they can run the ball, and Colt McCoy is not prone to make a lot of mistakes. Here's the reality check. St. Louis can run the ball. Steven Jackson can do a lot of good things. If Sam Bradford is back, it's a different game. I don't know who's starting. If it's Feely, you got to like the Browns in this. But if it's Sam Bradford, that's a big-time if, then you got to like the Rams. But right now, it looks like it's going to be the Browns against A.J. Feely. In that case, you got to take the Browns. Arizona at Philadelphia. If you didn't pick the Eagles to win this game, I don't know what you're watching. Arizona has major league quarterback issues. I believe Skelton's going to start today. No Kevin Cobb today. The Eagles are a 14-point favorite, and I'm going to tell you something right now. Give the 14 points. Michael Vick and the Philadelphia Eagles coming off the sound defeat of Chicago are going to be angry. They're at home. They're playing in front of their hometown fans. They are going to put up a ton of points and a show. The over-under is 46.5, but I'm telling you right now, LeSean McCoy, Mike Vick, those boys, they're coming. They're coming hard. Arizona is not ready. Philadelphia gets the 14 points. Baltimore at Seattle. The Ravens are a 6.5-point favorite against the Seattle team, but it largely, again, can't get out of its own way. The bottom line is Baltimore may be the most talented team in the AFC, and Seattle may be one of the worst teams in the NFC West. Now, there's always the conundrum of what happens when you travel cross-country from Baltimore to Seattle to play a game, and well, thankfully it's not a 1 o'clock game, it's an afternoon game. Either way it goes, it's 1 o'clock in Seattle, 4 o'clock for those of us on the East Coast, 3 o'clock in the Chicago market. However, Baltimore's just a better football team. Give the 6.5 points. Take the Ravens. Just be a slobber knocker on defense. And we'll see if we can get all Seattle out of there without getting too many injuries. The Giants at San Francisco. The New York Giants will go onto the West Coast and take on Alex Smith. That's right. I said Alex Smith and the vaunted 49ers. And you know what? The 49ers, for the first time in again forever, are favored by 3.5 points in this game. Why? Because they play sound defense. They can stop the run. And they've got Frank Gore on the offensive side. They've got a ton of weapons for Alex Smith to play with. It's just a matter of whether or not he can simply manage the game and take advantage of it. On the other side of the ball, here are the Giants going west. It's a late game, but again, to these guys, it's 1:15 on the West Coast. They're playing a 1 o'clock game Western time, which is 4 o'clock on their internal clock. Here's the deal. Giants can run the football. Eli's playing at an absolute elite level. But you're going into San Francisco with that defense. Patrick Wilson, those boys, I just think the San Francisco Giants are the San Francisco 49ers are for real. Give them their just due, and they'll get this win against the NFC East leading Giants. New England at the New York Jets. This used to be one of the biggest games when New England was good and the Jets were kind of the upstart. Now we start to see cracks in the armor with Tom Brady and that offense. The New England defense is the absolute worst in the AFC, maybe the worst in the NFL, and if that is the case, here come the bullies known as the New York Jets to put it right in their face. They're going to pressure the wide receivers at the line. They're going to pressure Tom Brady. They're going to stay in his face all day long. This could be absolutely ugly for our boys from the great New England market. However, the Jets are only a 2-point favorite. Not quite sure why it's that low, but it's probably because of the Tom Brady factor. Let's just call it what it is. Tom Brady is still Tom Brady. And if Wes Welker is not jammed at the line by Darrelle Revis, this could be interesting. No matter how you look at it, though, the bullies known as the New York Jets should take care of business at home against New England. Minnesota at Green Bay. This is the Monday night affair. Minnesota and Green Bay. Christian Ponder versus Aaron Rodgers. Now, keep in mind, Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith came out at the same time. Aaron Rodgers had the good luck, the good fortune, I guess, of sitting behind Brett Favre for X number of years, kind of hone his craft, learn a lot. So when he came out, he exploded onto the scene. Green Bay, the Super Bowl champions, undefeated at home, ushering in a Christian Ponder-led Minnesota team. You see why Green Bay is so heavily favored, 13 points in this game. But don't be surprised if Christian Ponder and Adrian Peterson at least make it a game. I can't go against Green Bay, but that 13 points, that's a lot of points. I can see Green Bay by 10 because Minnesota's going to come with surprise. 13? No. But give Green Bay the game. I could say Green Bay maybe 7, not 13. All right. That is your 10, 2011, Vin Fix. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Don't forget, your local affiliates are coming up. The pregame before the pregame is about to wind it down. Good luck, everybody. See you next week. Peace.
Back on the
with
ride.
10, 2011, Vin Fix. We love you, and there's nothing you can do about it. Don't forget, your local affiliates are coming up. The pregame before the pregame is about to wind it down. Good luck, everybody. See you next week. Peace.
We did that twice. That's kind of funny. 10:59. Look, do we, just some Ramadi. You've already heard it twice now. Your local affiliates for your pregames are coming up on Fox and on CBS. Don't forget the Sunday night affair will be on NBC. Monday night's affair, ESPN. There's nothing else you can do about the fact save now. Set your ESPN fantasy rosters. Set your CBS fantasy rosters. Set your Yahoo fantasy rosters. Set your Facebook fantasy rosters. Whatever game you're playing, get ready to rock and roll. Week 10, the National Football League is on tap. Good luck, everybody. Have a great Sunday and a great week. We'll see you next time, only on the Fastest 6 Minutes in Sports. Peace.